Lord, you know that from a human standpoint, it would be impossible for me to be able to say anything that would help even one person, much less a group of multiple people that have been going through different things throughout the week, that have different backgrounds and different upbringings. And Lord, I ask that you would once again, your Holy Spirit would come upon us tonight, today, this morning, Lord, and that you would help me to preach your word, Lord, and that it might minister to each one of us as we need it. That your word would just speak to our hearts, Lord, that as we leave this morning, we would know we've heard from your word. Lord, I pray you'd help me to just preach the text, Lord, and that we might be able to grow today because of it. In your precious name I pray. Amen. Amen. All right, well, we're there in 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. And 1 Corinthians 13 is known by many as the charity chapter. And if you've got a modern version of the Bible with you this morning, you don't have a King James Bible. First of all, if you need a King James Bible, if you need a Bible, we've got some for you. If you need a Bible, maybe you can just raise your hand and we'll get one to you. I think everybody's set. You need a Bible, brother? Let's get them a Bible. They're good. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, known as a charity Bible, it's a charity chapter, but in the modern Bible versions, that word charity has been changed to love. If you have a modern version of the Bible, you would know that the word has been changed from charity to love. Now, I believe, you know, we use the King James Bible at our church, and we believe in the King James Bible, and I believe that the proper word for that chapter there truly was charity, and I'll explain to you why in a little. Just by way of introduction, we're going to go through this text this morning and really study it out and get to know it. But I want to explain to you why I believe the word charity is a proper word in that chapter there, and not the word love. Now, there's nothing wrong with the word love. We like the word love. The Bible uses the word love a lot. But the word charity, I believe, is a proper word because the definition of the word charity, you need to understand, today our definition for the word charity has changed a little bit than its original meaning. Today, the definition of the word charity means to giving to the poor, you know, and it is an act of giving or generosity. But the word charity also means love, love for humanity. That's what the word means. Now, here's what you need to understand. The reason I believe the word charity is the right word in this passage is because you may have noticed in 1 Corinthians 13, the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, is teaching us about the word charity. And the way he does that is he explains to us the actions that charity does. Now, here's what you need to understand. The contrast between the word love, which is a good word. We like the word love. But the contrast between the word love and the word charity is this. Love is an idea, while charity is an action. Do you understand what I'm saying? Love is something we feel. Charity is something we do. See, you can have love without having charity, but you can't have charity without love. Really, charity is love in action. Charity, if love was a noun, an idea, charity would be the verb. It'd be the doing of. When you perform love, what you're doing, according to the Bible, is charity. Love is expected in certain relationships. If you're married, you expect your spouse to love you and you love them back. If you've got children, you expect the father or mother to love the children and the children to love them back. Love is an expected feeling in a relationship. Charity, however, is something that is done in without expecting anything back. It's done without relationship. That's why, by the way, you know, during Christmas time or different times during the year, someone says, well, you give to charity. What are you doing? You're giving to someone. They don't even know who you are. There's no established relationship there. It is love going only one way. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's the contrast between love and charity. Love is mutual, while charity is one way. Charity is love in action. Someone said this. The Christian life is encompassed by these two words, love and obedience. And I would agree with that. The Christian life is encompassed by these two words, love and obedience. But if that is true, which I believe it is, then the words love and the word obedience are encompassed in this one word, charity. Because that's what charity is. Charity is when we take love and we put it to action. When we take love and we actually do something with it. You can love without charity, but you cannot have charity without love. That's why I believe the proper word here in 1 Corinthians 13 is that word charity. And this morning I want us to just take a few moments and study what this word charity means. Because you need to understand that if there's one word in our society today, if there's one constant, and there's nothing wrong with the term love. And we'll probably refer to love this morning. But if there's something we're missing in our society today, it's this word charity. Now, I don't want to be very long this morning, but I do want to just study this word out and give you a few things to think about. Number one, I'd like you to know, point number one is this. I want you to see the condition of charity. The condition of charity. You say, what do we mean by that word, condition of charity? Well, condition is something that's essential. And the Bible, the Apostle Paul begins to explain to us that as we enter into relationships, that as we enter into ministry, that as we enter into life, there is one thing that's going to be essential for you to be able to make a difference. And he says that one word is this, charity. Notice in verse number one, he says, though I speak. Now he's talking about speaking or communicating. And he says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass and as tinkling cymbals. You know what he's saying? He's saying as a preacher of the Word of God, I can stand up. He said, I can be the greatest orator. I can have the greatest ability to stand up in front of a crowd and speak and be able to explain things and have a great gift of communication. Would you agree that communication or being able to communicate in a lot of ways is a talent, it's a gift? No, not everybody can do it. And Paul says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, he says, I can say all the right things at the right times. I can communicate well. I can get my point across. I can connect with people. He said, if I've got that gift, but I have not charity. Notice what he says. He said, I am become as sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. You know what he's saying? He's saying, you just become like sound. He said, it's not even coherent. It doesn't matter. People don't even hear it. They don't listen to it. Would you agree that saying to someone, I love you, but not having any actions to prove it would make that very shallow? You say, well, my kids keep saying, I love you. I love you. Good night, mom, or good night, dad. I love you. But it's like, well, you don't listen to anything I say. Well, you know, I'd rather you not tell me you love me and take the trash out when I ask you to. Would you agree with that? You know, today in our society, parents, you know, they go around and love their kids and they want everybody to know how much they love their children. But their kids aren't taken care of, their kids aren't being well fed, they're not being educated properly, they're not having attention. You understand what I'm saying? Words are cheap, is what the Apostle Paul is saying. And he says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, he says, I am become as a sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. Verse number one, he says, speaking is without charity is nothing. In verse 2, notice what he says. And though I have the gift of prophecy. So he said in verse number 1, he said, I'm talking about speaking. In verse number 2, he said, I'm talking about spirituality. Notice what he says. He says, and though I have the gifts of prophecy, and understand all mysteries, and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity. Notice what he says. He says, I am nothing. You know, at Verity Baptist Church, we teach and we preach and we believe that you ought to read your Bible and you ought to know what the Bible says and you ought to grow spiritually. And we believe that. I think 9 chapters a day proves that. But you know that you can have all the Bible knowledge in the world. You can know all prophecy and all mysteries. You can understand everything the Bible says and have every answer for every Bible quiz and know exactly what it is. You know all the stories. You know the names of all the books. You know the names of all the apostles. You know exactly. I mean, people are going to start talking to you about a book in the Bible, and you're like, I know exactly where that's at. They start telling you a story, and you say, I know exactly where that's at. I understand all prophecy. I understand all mystery. But you don't have this one word, charity. You know it means nothing. It accomplishes nothing. It does nothing. He said, when it comes to speaking, if I have not charity, it's nothing. He says, when it comes to spirituality, if I have not charity, it's nothing. Look at verse 3. In verse 1, he said speaking. In verse 2, he said spirituality. In verse 3, he said sacrifice. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. He said, I gave all my money away to feed the poor. And though I give my body to be burned. He said, if I literally give my body as a sacrifice and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. See, the condition of accomplishing something in our lives is this word, charity. It's loving, but putting action to that love. It's caring, but putting action to that care. And the Apostle Paul begins this chapter by saying, look, charity is essential. If you're going to make a difference, I don't know about you, but I would like to, personally, I'd like to end my life knowing that I made a difference in somebody's life. Personally, I'd like to end my life knowing that when I pass on from this earth, that somebody would say, I'm thankful for the life of Pastor Roger Jimenez. I would hope my wife would say that. Someday she would, someday she might not. I hope my kids would say that. I hope there'd be church people who would say, you know what, I've grown in grace because of the ministry of that man, or he's helped me, or he's been there. And all of us ought to have that desire that we want to make a difference in somebody's life. But you need to understand this. You say, I'm going to learn all the books of the Bible, and I'm going to memorize everything, and I'm going to understand everything. And I'm all for that. And you ought to read the Bible, and you ought to memorize Scripture, and you ought to have knowledge, and you ought to understand all prophecy and mysteries. You ought to have an answer for the hope that is in you, is what the Bible says. But if you do it without charity, it profiteth nothing. You know, the sad part is that there are Christians who have grown up in church and been in church for a long time and been in a place like Verity Baptist Church where we've not withheld anything. We preach the Word. We've taught you the Gospel. We've taught you the Scripture. Man, you can preach the Gospel. You can get somebody saved, but you do nothing with it. You don't go out soul winning. You don't knock on doors. You don't ever preach the Gospel. You don't ever share your faith. You don't ever tell your neighbors about the love of God, about Jesus Christ, about His death, burial, and resurrection. You've got all the knowledge, but you're not doing anything with it. Why is it? Because of this one word is missing in your life. Charity. If you love someone, you do something about it. Say, I have the ability to speak, but if you never open your mouth. I understand all mysteries, but if you never go out and teach somebody. I can sacrifice and I can give, and God has blessed me maybe financially, and I can support missionaries, and I can support pastors, I can support a ministry, I can support a van to go out there in the community and pick people up for church and bring them to church. Hey, I can do all that sacrifice, but you do nothing with it. Why? Because there's one word, charity. It's the one word we don't have. It's the one word we don't understand. See, he begins by saying, number one, he says, the condition of charity, the essential thing in your life that you need is charity. Number two, I'd like you to see the characteristics of charity. By that word characteristics, we mean a distinguishing trait or quality. He begins to explain to us what this word charity looks like. It's very interesting. You know that if we learn this word, if we apply this word in our lives, I honestly believe it would revolutionize our lives. Say, Pastor Jimenez, I'm in church this morning, and you may or may not know this. I don't know. I don't know all the situation. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, I'm struggling in my marriage. If you're struggling with your marriage, you know what you need to learn is this word, charity. Say, I'm struggling with my children. I can't seem to get them to understand the importance of following the Bible, and they're allowing their friends to sway them the wrong way. They're going down the wrong. I'm worried about my children, and I don't feel like I can effectively minister to them. Maybe you need to learn this word, charity. See, this word is essential in our lives. And he begins to give us the characteristics. I want you to see it. Look at verse 4. He says, charity suffereth long. You see that? Now, does that word suffer sound like, does that sound like a good word or a bad word? Does that sound like something enjoyable? He says, charity suffereth a short time and complains about it the whole time. Is that what it said? Charity suffereth long. Isn't that interesting? Somebody said this. I didn't verify this myself. Don't quote me on it, I guess. Although I'm quoting this person on it. Somebody said to me recently, divorce rate in America is at close to 60% today. I don't know if that's true or not. I would not be surprised if it were true. You know that divorce is a cancer in our nation. You say, Pastor, I've been divorced. If you've been divorced, you know, it's a sin like any other sin. Ask Jesus Christ to forgive you and don't ever do it again. You say, well, I've been divorced and remarried. Then don't divorce the one you're with. You understand that? It's a sin like any other sin, but can we still talk about it? You know that I believe that the reason that divorce is such widespread in America is because of this word, charity. See, if we understood this, charity suffereth long. Charity is patient. Charity does not give up on a marriage. Charity does not give up on children. Charity does not give up on friendships. Charity does not give up on relationships. You say, well, you don't understand. You don't know how it is to live with so-and-so. You don't know how it is to live with a husband who does this or does that, and he won't listen, and he smells bad. Leaves his socks, but I told him not to leave. Hey, join the club. All men are like that. Amen. You think, well, if I got rid of this one, I'd go get me a... They're all the same. Grass is always greener on the other side. You get to the other side, you realize it's a mess on that side too. They smell on that side too, and they don't shower on that side too, and they're lazy on that side too. And by the way, you ladies, same thing. And you know, marriages would survive if we said, you know what? Charity suffereth long. See, I'm suffering. Do it for a long time. Not only that, look at verse 4. He says, charity suffereth long, but also charity, look what it says, and is kind. You know that we need a revival of this word kind? We just need a revival of this in America. Somewhere along the way, through the MTV, you know, just culture, or the I don't know what it is, the television culture, the Hollywood culture of America, we somehow lost this idea of being kind and loving towards each other. Today, it is cool to be rude. People think it is an honorable thing to be rude. The Bible says charity suffereth long. You're there in 1 Corinthians. Go to the book of Ephesians real quickly with me. You're there in 1 Corinthians, right after the book of 1 Corinthians. You got 2 Corinthians. Right after 2 Corinthians, you got the book of Galatians. And right after the book of Galatians, you got the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 4. Look at verse number 32. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:32, it says, "And be ye kind one to another." By the way, you see how it says there, "Be ye kind"? It's not saying, try to be kind. It's not saying, if you're in a good mood, be kind. It's not saying, if it's easy. He's commanding you and I. And look, it's hard. Especially for men. You know, it's easy for us to get in a grumpy mood. You know what I mean? But he says, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven" who?
You.
So why should I be kind to my spouse? Because God forgave you. Why should I be kind to my children? Because God forgave you. Why should I be kind to those who are not kind to me? Because God was kind to you when you weren't kind to Him. Because God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners. Remember, we were talking about this on Wednesday night. While we were at odds with God, while we were enemies with God, God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners. When we had not decided to turn to God, when we had not decided to accept Him as Jesus Christ as our Savior, when we had not decided to give our lives to Him, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know what that is? Charity. Say, well, we love Him because He first loved us. That's a relationship we've established where He loves us, so we love Him. But before we loved Him, He gave us charity, meaning He loved us, expecting nothing back. Just like I heard on the news, somebody threw in a very expensive diamond ring into one of these Salvation Army. I think it's Salvation Army who stands in front of, during the holiday season, you know, they'll stand in front of a store somewhere. And they'll have like a little bucket you throw money in to help. Somebody threw in a very expensive diamond ring with a note. And it just said that they're doing it in honor for the children that died at Sandy Hook Massacre. And you know what that is? That truly was charity. Because they gave expecting nothing back. In fact, nobody even knew. You say, well, I'm in a marriage. And if you don't understand, Pastor, if I'm kind to my wife, or I'm kind to my husband, if I'm kind to my neighbor, if I'm kind to my friend, they're going to take advantage of me. That's charity. They're not going to appreciate it. That's charity. They're not even going to acknowledge it. That's charity. See, charity is not just loving so that someone would love me back. Charity is loving whether they love me back or not. It's still charity. It's still love. It's still there. He says, "Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." See, charity is really what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you and I. Go back to 1 Corinthians 13, if you would. Verse 4, charity suffereth long, he says, and is kind. What is kind? Charity is kind. Notice what it says. Charity envieth not. That word envy means resentment of another's advantages. You know that envy is something that all of us struggle with? See, I don't struggle with it. Yeah, you do. We all do. And we all ought to keep it in check. You know that You ought to rejoice for people. Did you hear brother so-and-so? Got a raise. You know, our attitude ought to be, amen, praise the Lord. Maybe he'll tithe. Not, oh, man. Well, he cheats and he does this. You know, envy is bitterness in your heart. And envy truly is this, just not learning to be content. Paul said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And you can say, my marriage is falling apart, but I'm glad for so-and-so that is surviving. You can say, maybe I just lost my job, but I'm glad so-and-so got a job. My car just broke down, but I'm glad so-and-so just bought a car. Praise the Lord for that. See, that's what charity does. It envieth not. He explains to us, because it's hard to... You can say, love someone. You can say that. But he's trying to explain to us how you do this act of charity. And in verse 4, he says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Look what it says. Charity vaunteth not itself. That word vaunt means to brag. It means to boast. It means to show off. I'm amazed how many people vaunt. He says, charity doesn't sit there and tell you how great it is. Charity is humble. Charity doesn't, you know, just, well, look at everything I've accomplished. And look, it says, charity vaunteth not itself. It doesn't brag on itself. It doesn't boast on itself. It doesn't show off on itself. Charity, notice the last part of verse 4, is not puffed up. You know what that means? Being not puffed up means it's not full of itself. It's not arrogant. See, what you need to understand is this. Charity is focused on someone else. When your whole life is wrapped up on, I've got to make more money so I can be better than so-and-so. And if you don't think people live their life like that, you better wake up. Keeping up with the Joneses is so real in our materialistic society today. And it's easy to get wrapped up in that. It's easy to see somebody have a new car and think, I need to go get that car. Well, so-and-so can't be better than me. You don't have the money for that car. I will finance it. You're going to go bankrupt that way. Charity vaunteth not itself. Charity is not puffed up. It's not arrogant. Look at verse 5. The subject there is charity. It says, charity doth not behave itself unseemly. That word unseemly there is referring to the fact that not according with established standards of good form or taste. Unseemly is when you start acting in a way that is just not a proper way. You know that charity always responds right? I'm trying to help you this morning with your relationships. You know that charity means when somebody comes up to you and says something rude to you, you say, well, we just woke up this morning and my spouse, they just said something rude to me. You know how charity responds? With a smile. A soft answer turneth away wrath, is what the Bible says. You know that charity responds right, it acts right, even when it doesn't want to. You go spend time with family or friends and people treat you wrong. Charity reacts the right way. Charity loves the right way. It says charity does not behave itself unseemly. I'm telling you, if you would apply these things in your marriage, it would revolutionize your marriage. Look at verse 5 again. Does not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. That's really that's probably one of the main points there. Charity seeketh not its own. Real quickly, go with me to the book. You're there in 1 Corinthians 13. Go back to chapter 10. Chapter 10, look at verse 33. 1 Corinthians 10:33. The Bible says, I want you to see this. 1 Corinthians 10:33. And I often say this when I preach sermons like this, is you need to understand, this is real Christianity. We can preach about dress standards, and I'm all for preaching on dress standards, and I will preach on dress standards. We can preach about getting sin out of your life, and I'm all for preaching against sin, getting sin out of your life, and we will preach against getting sin out of your life. And we can preach about all sorts of different things, and how you ought to, you know, what you ought to look at it or not look at it, and what you ought to listen to and not listen to, and how you ought to dress and not dress, and things you ought to do, and all of that. But when it comes down to it, this word right here, charity, that's real Christianity. That's when the rubber meets the road. Are you there in 1 Corinthians chapter 10? Look at verse 33 real quickly. 1 Corinthians 10:33. Look what it says. Even as I please all men in all things. Notice what he says. Not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. See, you and I would accomplish something great for God if somebody said this. We do not know what a man could accomplish in his life if he does not care who gets the credit. You know why we do very little in our lives? You know why you don't succeed at your job? Because you're only interested in doing something at your job. You're only, as long as you get the credit for it. And that's why you only work when the boss is watching. Look, the boss knows when you're not working, whether he's there or not. He knows the productivity. And we have this idea in America today, especially in our culture, where everything's about us. As long as I get better, as long as I get richer, as long as I'm happier, as long as it benefits me. And Jesus Christ and the Bible came along into this world and they said, you know what? Seek after others. Love others. See that others profit. Go to Philippians real quickly. You're there in 1 Corinthians. You got 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, then you got the book of Galatians, you got the book of Ephesians, and then you got the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter number 2. Look at verse number 3. This is so anti our society today. And these are well-known verses. I know we've seen them before, but I want you to see it again. Philippians chapter number 2, verse 3. Philippians 2:3 says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Pastor, it's a dog-eat-dog world out there. Sometimes you got to step on people to go up that corporate ladder. No, you don't. Sometimes other people have to suffer so that my family can eat or so that my family can be better. No, you don't. Jesus Christ said you can live your life esteeming others better than yourself. And by the way, if you practice that rule in your relationships, if you practice that rule in your workplace, in your marriage, with your children, it would revolutionize your life. He said, charity seeketh not his own. You're there in Philippians chapter 2. Look at verse number 21. You're the same chapter. Look at verse 21. Philippians 2:21. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. Hey, let me ask you a question. When are you going to start seeking the profit of the kingdom of God? See, we all seek our own, but God says, I wish you would seek my kingdom. I wish you would put me first. You know that I could make more money not pastoring and working on Sunday? I could make more money. Would you not agree? And I'm not against me. You know, I understand sometimes you got to work. I get that. But you know that sometimes when we profit the kingdom of God, it means that we don't profit. Remember what John said? He said, I must decrease that he may increase. They came to John and said, John, how do you feel about the Lord Jesus Christ? Remember John the Baptist? John the Baptist was the hottest ticket in town. The Bible says that all men came out of Judea to hear John the Baptist preach. And Jesus Christ showed up one day and John said, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. And as soon as John introduced Jesus into the public eye, guess what happened to his church? It went down. Because all his disciples, can we turn that off, please? Let's make sure that whatever that is gets turned off. I told you in the bulletin. And when John showed up in town, he said, hey, you got to follow Jesus Christ. And all his disciples went to him. Some of the 12 disciples originally were John's disciples. And people said, well, how do you feel about that? He said, hey, if he increases, it doesn't matter if I decrease. And you know, in your life and in my life, if the kingdom of God increases, if Jesus Christ increases, it doesn't matter if you and I decrease. He says, here's what you understand. When you invest yourself in others, that's the most fulfilling in your life. You say, well, my life is all about me. My life is all about making sure I'm happy. You will die miserable. You will die lonely. You will die. Nobody is on their deathbed wishes, I wish I would have put in more overtime. I've never heard that. Nobody on their deathbed says, I just wish. If there's one regret I have in life, is I wish I would have spent more time in the office. But you know what millions of people say? I wish I would have spent more time with my family. I wish I would have spent more time with my wife. I wish I would have spent more time serving God. I wish I would have spent more time reading God's Word. I wish I would have spent more time on those things that are eternal. Cars are temporal. Vacations are temporal. They don't last. It's nice to have them. But those things that matter is investing ourselves in others. Go back to 1 Corinthians 13. Look at verse 5 again. Does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. Isn't that interesting? Is not easily provoked. You know that charity does not have a short fuse? You know that charity is not just willing and ready to fight and be angry about the smallest thing? Now look, if you're a man, you probably struggle with this. It's okay. Just realize that if you would walk in charity, charity is not easily provoked. Charity is not ready to fight. Well, how, you say, well, how can I get to a place where, you know, you just don't understand. Somebody says the wrong thing, I just get so angry. Here's why. Because you're not suffering long. Here's why. Because you're seeking after yourself. Well, I'm not going to let anybody take advantage of me. Why not? Jesus Christ did.
That's right.
Well, I'm not going to turn the other cheek. Why not? Jesus Christ did.
Mm-hmm.
Charity is not easily provoked. Look at verse 5. Charity thinketh no evil. People walk around always thinking, well, so-and-so must have an agenda. So-and-so, they said something nice to me. They must want something from me. Maybe they just wanted to say hi. You know what that is? It's guilt. You have an agenda, so you think everybody else has an agenda. You're cheating on your spouse, so you think your spouse is cheating on you. You're stealing from the boss, so you think other people are stealing from you. That's just guilt. But charity thinketh no evil. The word evil there means that it's not hurt. It's not thinking to hurt anybody. Look at verse 6. Charity rejoiceth not in iniquity, for rejoiceth in truth. Charity does not get happy when the neighbor loses their house. Charity does not, you know, when you see the neighbor's car getting towed away, think, well, they had it coming. That's not charity. Charity rejoiceth not in iniquity, but it rejoiceth in truth. Look at verse 7. Beareth all things. You know that word bear means to support. It means to sustain. It means to endure. He says charity beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. Endureth all things. Let me ask you something, and you don't have to answer this out loud. In fact, I appreciate it if you didn't. But if we remove the word charity from this passage and put your name there, how true would that be? Pastor Jimenez suffereth long. Some of you would laugh. And is kind. Some of you would really laugh there. Pastor Jimenez envieth not. Pastor Jimenez vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not his own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Could your name be put there? If your name could be put there, you'd accomplish much for Christ. If your name could be put there, you might save your marriage. If your name could be put there, you might win over your children who lost respect for you. If your name could be put there, hey, you might get that raise at work. If your name could be put there, you would accomplish so much for the kingdom of Christ. The characteristics of charity are this. Love, but not just, I love. It's loving and actually putting it to work. Say, I love you children. But when you suffer along with your children, that's when you show your love. I love you spouse. But when you're kind, that's when you show your love. I love ministry. But when you actually do something with that love, that's when you accomplish something. Number 3, we're almost done. I told you, I'm not preaching long this morning. Look at verse 8. 1 Corinthians 13, look at verse 8. Charity never faileth. So we saw number 1, the condition of charity. We saw number 2, the characteristics of charity. Number 3, I want you to see the commitment of charity. Charity never faileth, is what the Bible says. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. But you know what never fails? You know what never vanishes away? You know what never ceases? Charity. Loving. Caring. Look at verse 9. He says, now verses 9 through 12, it almost seems like it begins to talk about something else. But in the last part of the chapter, he brings it back to this idea of charity. And I just want you to see this real quickly. He says, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part shall be done away. You know what he's saying? He's saying nobody really knows everything. He says, we know in part, and we prophesy in part, and we ought to. But you know that we don't know everything? None of us know everything that's in the Bible. And none of us know how everything's going to end. He says, our knowledge is in part. Look at verse 12. We'll come back to verse 11, but look at verse 12. He says, for now we see through a glass darkly. He says, right now we're looking through a glass. We open up the Word of God and we're looking through a glass and it's dark and we see images and we can see some of the things, but we don't really understand. He says, but then, he says, now we see through a dark glassly, but then when Jesus comes, when we're in heaven, he says, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, right now I know some things. And I prophesy some things. And I minister some things.